Being with Srila Prabhupada in Kumbh Mela was a wonderful experience. As it is, Kumbh Mela is the biggest spiritual festival in India. Millions of people come to take their bath in the confluence of Ganges and Jamuna. And the festival goes on for about a month, and we were very fortunate to be in that holy place on that holy occasion with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was giving us his association mainly twice a day. In the morning, we used to celebrate Prabhupada's Guru Puja, and then Prabhupada would give Bhagavatam class, and in the evening Prabhupada used to give darshan to everyone. One day during the Guru Puja, one devotee was leading an ecstatic kirtan, and about 300 devotees were jumping up and down in ecstasy. And then all of a sudden that devotee started to sing Bhaja Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada just shouted and stopped the kirtan. And all of a sudden everything became pin drop silence. And then Srila Prabhupada just roared, "Where did you learn this Bhaja Hare Krishna?" The devotee was quiet, everyone was quiet. And Prabhupada continued that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra must be chanted just as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And nothing should be added to it, and nothing should be subtracted from it. So that was a very important lesson we learned that day. Now it is also sometimes I hear devotees, although they may not sing Bhaja Hare Krishna, but sometimes I hear some devotees chant Jai Hare Krishna and so forth. But Prabhupada never wanted us to add any of those things to the holy name. Prabhupada wanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should remain intact, and we should only chant the mantra without adding or subtracting. Srila Prabhupada was quite unwell those days, but still Prabhupada used to give darshan in the evening. And sometimes Indians can be quite arrogant and argumentative, and I used to feel very bad that here is Srila Prabhupada, not only the pure devotee of the Lord, but an intimate associate of Krishna. But these Indians were so unfortunate that they could not recognize Srila Prabhupada's exalted position and accept him as their spiritual guide and receive the ultimate spiritual benefit. They, on the other hand, was coming, sometimes challenging Prabhupada. And later on one day Srila Prabhupada told me how disappointed he was that the Indians were not coming forward to join this movement. He once told me that everyone is coming. People from all over the world are recognizing the importance of this movement and participating and deriving their spiritual benefit out of that. Only Indians are not coming. That was Prabhupada's discontentment. And once Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, "I am one Indian. I am I spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. What will happen to the world if all the Indians take up this responsibility to spread the message of the Vedas, message of our Sanatan Dharma, message of Krishna consciousness all over the world? That was Srila Prabhupada's concern, that every Indian should become involved in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada repeated, often used to repeat Mahaprabhu's instructions, Bharat Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janmajar, Janma Sartha Kori Karo Paru Upakar. Those who got human form of life in the holy land of India, they must make their life successful by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Kumbh Mela, since there were lots of people, so many people, was little crowded and noisy, was very noisy at times. And Srila Prabhupada was inconvenienced. He could not translate at night, because throughout the night they used to be blaring loudspeakers and noise created thereby. And so one morning we just got to know that Srila Prabhupada decided to leave Kumbh Mela and go to Calcutta. So we just got the news and we just accepted it that Srila Prabhupada was going to leave. And then later in that morning, Bhavananda Prabhu just came to me and told me that Prabhupada was going to leave for Calcutta, and the arrangements has been made for him to travel by train, and Srila Prabhupada would travel with a group of devotees to Calcutta. And to my great joy, he announced that I have been included in that team that would travel with Srila Prabhupada. I literally jumped with joy, and I could realize that it was he who has created that good fortune for me. That way I am extremely indebted to him. He had been very kind to me, and he had made it a point to take me to Srila Prabhupada. He used to tell me that Prabhupada used to lament that high-class Indians were not joining the movement. And he thought that I was very high-class, and that's why he thought that Prabhupada would be very pleased to meet me. And so the arrangement was made for Srila Prabhupada's travel to Calcutta by train. And at night, Prabhupada was supposed to travel by train. A first-class carriage was arranged for Srila Prabhupada through some influence there in Allahabad. And this carriage was hooked on to a Calcutta-bound train. The whole carriage was exclusively meant for Srila Prabhupada and his entourage. And there were about 14 devotees traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and I was one of the fortunate ones. And many devotees came to see Srila Prabhupada off to the station. And at about 9 o'clock, the train started. Devotees were waving. I also stood by the door of the train compartment and waved at them. And I did feel somewhat proud of my good fortune, although I was just an uninitiated new devotee, but still I had the good fortune to travel with Srila Prabhupada. And it was indeed Krishna's mercy. When the train started to move, we took rest. And the next morning, after taking my bath, I was chanting. And Bhavananda Prabhu just came to me and he told me, "Come, I will take you to Srila Prabhupada." all this while I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada, but now when the time came to meet Srila Prabhupada face to face in that close proximity, and Prabhupada was just one or two compartments away from mine, and I felt completely unqualified to even go in front of Srila Prabhupada. And so I didn't say anything. I was just, all these thoughts were going at the back of my mind, and really Bhavananda Prabhu could understand what was going on in my mind. So he just grabbed me by my hand and dragged me through the corridor and opened Srila Prabhupada's door, the compartment door, and he pushed me in. And I just fell flat on the ground offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. When I got up, I saw that Srila Prabhupada was looking at me with a smile in his face. And then Srila Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. The first class compartments in India, Indian trains, have two rows of seats facing each other. In one seat there were Rameshwar Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj. And Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta at that time, he was sitting on the floor. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting in one seat. And Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him on that seat. I became very embarrassed. I said, Prabhupada, no, I would rather sit on the floor. Prabhupada insisted, no, you sit here. So I rolled up the edge of the blanket that was spread over that seat and sat down in one corner of the seat. And Srila Prabhupada started to ask me some preliminary questions, who I was, and so forth. And then Prabhupada just told me, you translate my books into Bengali. So at my very first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, I got this wonderful instruction from His Divine Grace to translate His books into Bengali. I was feeling very unqualified, and I told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, will I be able to do that? I never really translated into Bengali. And Prabhupada said, practice makes a man perfect. He actually used a Bengali expression at that time. He said, by practicing, one becomes a musician, and by dancing, one becomes a dancer. So, which actually meant the same as the English expression goes, practice makes a man perfect. I felt myself extremely fortunate. And then Prabhupada started to criticize Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. He started to tell me how they actually have destroyed the whole of Bengali culture and the spiritual life of Bengal. It's because of their wrong propaganda that Mahaprabhu's teachings have been covered over, and the Bengalis today are not really so well acquainted with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings, what to speak of recognizing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, all the Bengalis have become so enamored by Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, who actually have nothing to say. They have no spiritual message whatsoever. Ramakrishna is just an illiterate pujari, and Vivekananda was just a ruffian. That's how Srila Prabhupada expressed identifying those two so-called spiritual personalities. I got the message, and I got the message that how Prabhupada wanted that their position must be smashed and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glory must be established. Srila Prabhupada came to Calcutta. He stayed there for about 3 days. And for those 3 days, I was with Srila Prabhupada constantly. Calcutta was already my stomping ground, and now Srila Prabhupada is in Calcutta and I am with him. This first meeting gave me the opportunity to come very close to him, practically stay near him all the time. And I had the good excuse that I had things to ask to Srila Prabhupada about translating, and that's what I was doing. I would translate something and go to Srila Prabhupada, read it out to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would guide me, advise me, train me. And then one evening, Srila Prabhupada was giving darshan to many important people from Calcutta. And then after the meeting, actually when the meeting was going on, the arati started. And evening arati started. So Srila Prabhupada told everyone to go and attend the arati. And I also left with others. And I was standing in the arati. And then I thought that arati I can attend every day. But Srila Prabhupada's association, to be in Srila Prabhupada's presence, is going to be a very, very rare opportunity. So I just went to Srila Prabhupada. And as I opened the door, Srila Prabhupada looked up to me and asked me, "So, what do you want?" And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I just wanted to be near you." Srila Prabhupada said, "Then sit down." Srila Prabhupada was counting the money that people gave in donation. That kind of gave me a little shock that I couldn't imagine Srila Prabhupada counting money, because in India you generally don't see sadhus dealing with money. But then immediately I thought, whatever Srila Prabhupada does is perfect. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Whatever Srila Prabhupada does is for Krishna. And therefore it is all perfect spiritual activities. And so Srila Prabhupada counted all the rupees and he opened his drawer very gracefully and stacked the money inside the drawer. Then he looked up to me and asked me, "So, what do you want?" And I asked Srila Prabhupada with a throbbing heart, "Srila Prabhupada, will you kindly give me initiation?" I was afraid because I heard that many devotees who had been waiting for 6, 7, 8 years and still they didn't get initiation. And I was wondering, if that happens to me, then what would happen? What should I do? Because if Prabhupada sees me to be completely unqualified for initiation, what shall I do? But to my great relief, Srila Prabhupada immediately responded, "Yes, I will give you initiation. During the Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur, when I hold initiation, I will give you initiation." And I just offered my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada with the great joy enlightening my heart with an inconceivable feeling that finally I got the shelter of my spiritual master. Now my life is situated on the perfect path.